Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. Today, we are trying something new. We are doing it a little differently. My producer, Jackie, is amazing, and she's on the show today, and she had the idea of interviewing me to ask, God knows what she's going to ask, but we wanted to kind of turn the tables around today, so I'm going to be handing everything over to Jackie Mercer, my amazing producer. Hey, Jackie, take it away.
Hey, Monique, and hello, everyone. It is good to be here. So today we are turning the tables as I interview Monique Lombardelli-Anton, who is the broker and CEO of Modern Homes Realty. And she is a nationally recognized figure in real estate, featured in top publications like Architectural Digest and Dwell. And she is an evangelist for mid-century modern design and has helped developers build new Eichlers by selling them her Eichler plans. She has produced two documentary films about modernism, both of which you can find on YouTube. And one is called Little Boxes, The Story of Henry Dulger. And the other one is People in Glass Houses, which is the story of Joseph Eichler. She is the host of Mid-Century Modern with Monique and is known as Miss Mid-Century Modern and the Eichler Lady, and has beautifully educated the podcast world and those of us who knew nothing about mid-century modern design about its beauty and its charm. So first of all, Monique, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm so inspired by you. And you have been so patient with edits and, you know, repurposing sound and doing all of this for us. So I'm really inspired by you, and I love working with you. So, and wow. I thank you for this idea. I think sometimes it's hard for people to turn things around on themselves and talk about themselves. And, I was inspired by just your questions and how you also want to learn about modernism and you want to dive deep into it. I'm just really inspired by that. It makes me very excited after doing this for 14 years, you know, having someone come into this and learn is really cool. So thank you.
You're so welcome. And it's very mutual, the love of working with you. So I have been, like you said, listening to all of your episodes, and I have just fallen in love with mid-century modern design piece by piece, about the siding of Eichler and the mailboxes of Eichler or mid-century modernism. And as I've gotten more and more fascinated with it, I thought, how did you get into this? Like, how did this journey start for you? Where did you first fall in love with this architectural style and the lifestyle of it?
Yeah, I was, so in 2012, I was working as a realtor, and I was just driving around and working with clients and, you know, prospecting. They called it, you know, prospecting back then. And I was driving around Sunnyvale, and I came upon this little tract of Eichlers that totally changed my life. I know that might sound very dramatic, but I saw the homes and I was so shocked by them that I pulled over on the side of the road and I had to ask someone what they were. I felt like I had landed in this special place that I'd never seen before. I didn't understand homes like this. And they just looked like the coolest things to me. And ever since that moment, I never prospected ever again. I went around and started learning everything I could about these homes. I got so involved with Eichlers that I was eating, breathing, sleeping. Every day was Eichlers. It was about building a team. It was about educating other people about all the things I was learning. And then the film sort of came to me when I was researching about Eichler. I couldn't find anything. I found a couple books that were great, and I contacted the authors, and they, you know, became friends. Paul Adamson, who wrote Eichler, Modernism Rebuilds the American Dream, he became a great friend, and he narrated my film. I said, wow. I want to do a documentary film about this and educate people. I didn't know the press that I would get around that, but I had a lot of national press, international press, and people just started circulating the film and called me about Eichler's. So then I was at another real estate firm. I decided to start my own dedicated to modernism. And from there, everything just took off. I got introduced to a lot of people that had very distressed Eichler homes and also distressed mid-century modern homes. And it became such a passion of mine to work on these homes to make them look great for buyers. But also these homeowners really became special to me because they didn't really believe that anyone else liked the style of their home. I had a lot of people say, does anyone else like this besides me and you? And it's odd because people always call mid-century modernism a small niche market. I really have seen over the years all these people that contact me that are only looking for a mid-century modern home and are only enthusiastic about mid-century modern homes. So I have seen so many people, and I think it's proven that there are enthusiasts everywhere. There are modernist homes everywhere, and there are enthusiasts everywhere. So, and the people that aren't enthusiasts just haven't discovered the homes yet. So it's just about discovering it and seeing this beautiful world.
It seems like maybe they are a home that's built in warmer climates. So maybe that's why me as an East Coast Canadian have never seen them, because I don't know that they're as featured on our side of the country or in our country very much.
Right. Yeah, they were built for this climate. Exactly.
Yeah. So you live in a mid-century modern home. It is not an Eichler, right? But I've heard you say it's a Leichler.
It's a Leichler.
It's a Leichler. I'm trying to get in all the terms here.
Yes, it's a Leichler. And there are so many Leichlers. There are so many mid-century modern architects and designers that are unknown. This is an Alan Blair, was the name of the architect who designed this. And he did only some homes in Portola Valley, where we live. But it was amazing to me. I've found over 30,000 other mid-century modern homes just in the Bay Area. There are so many also in Southern California. I mean, also in Arizona, you know, in Texas, in North Carolina. I've had people call me in Florida, and there are people that are discovering, you know, even New York, there are some people always call and say, hey, there's a tract, there's a development here in my neighborhood that I love, or I grew up here. These designs were built usually in 1949 to 1974, and they were built to be affordable. They were built very simply, and they were built for people coming back from the war that didn't have much money and couldn't find a home. So
it's such a heart behind the architecture and the build. It's not just cool design. It just has such a heartbeat to it, which is so beautiful. And I hear that in all your interviews. It's like everyone kind of shares their piece of the heartbeat. And I think that's so beautiful.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's funny to bond with people when you meet another modernist. I guess with any other group or people that share the same interests, you find yourself putting aside any other things that you disagree on, and you're focusing on that bond of, you know, we love these homes. We love the feel of them. We want to preserve them. You know, we're all kind of in this, you know, banding together to keep them alive and to restore them and to keep this trend going. So it's really nice.
I love that. So for you living in a mid-century modern home or a Likeler, what is your favorite, what is your top favorite feature of living in it?
Oh my God. Well, the floor-to-ceiling glass is, of course, when you walk in and you just see all this light and you feel the outdoors, the indoor-outdoor feel is priceless. I mean, there's nothing that compares to this feeling. The fact that the front of the homes are very private is nice too. You don't have all the glass in the front. Everything's in the back. So you can kind of enjoy your backyard space more. We have some high ceilings in the living room here. That's just my favorite. And this post and beam construction is also very warming. It just feels like a different type of cozy home. I know you can have that feel in like a wood cabin or something else where there's this much wood, but it's the warmest, most comfortable and open, relaxed space that you can imagine. And just walking in every day, it's a calming space. It's like a Zen space here.
I love that. So is it common then for mid-century modern homes with this floor-to-ceiling glass to have one side of the house like very nature, like in the woods, or is it common for them to be within like suburbia or?
Yeah, well, the majority of them are tract. It's tract housing. So you'll be with your neighbors. There are almost 3,000 Eichler homes in Palo Alto, for example. So they are right next to each other, and you will see the other home from the backyard.
Okay.
But there's, you know, usually tracks with 5 or 6 models of Eichlers there, or they kept the same pattern throughout these tract homes.
Okay.
There were many different developers also in Palo Alto, that tried to imitate Eichler. They would do, you know, different variations of that same home, you know, usually 4 or 5 models, you know, back to back in a tract.
Okay. So as a real estate agent who is like kind of featuring these homes to people, what do you feel like when you see a home with a certain feature? What do you think is like the most exciting feature, unique feature that you enjoy showcasing to your potential buyers?
Well, I love the atriums. I love driving up to, we have a lot of people that don't live in an Eichler. They live in mid-century modern homes. And just driving up to that flat roof and seeing the post and beam, sometimes there's a brick facade. There's this brick front that's really beautiful. Walking through that mid-century modern door and seeing that atrium is my favorite thing. That's what I think buyers are surprised by. I think that's what they really love. That's what kind of lures them into to loving this style. That's like walking into the past. It's really capturing the past and that time.
So what is the most interesting or unusual mid-century modern home that you've had the opportunity to sell, or what made it stand out as an unusual or interesting place?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all so beautiful. I've sold a lot of Eichlers. Last year, we saved a Frank Lloyd Wright that was probably the highlight of my career.
Wow.
It was a large property in Atherton. And this home that he designed, it was called the Matthews House. It was not protected and really, really distressed. And everyone said, oh, it's a teardown. You know, you're not going to be able to sell it. And we sold it. Not only did we sell it to enthusiasts who kept the home, but it sold for the highest price per square foot in that neighborhood ever. And it was just really amazing to see someone love the design so much. Normally you'll have buyers say, you know, this house is too small for me. It's not updated. I hate that updated word. I hate it. You know, it's not updated. It's nothing's new in the home. These buyers are pretty amazing. They wanted everything that was original. They wanted to keep the original design. They didn't want to remodel it. They don't want to alter it. They are doing a complete restoration. And that was really inspiring to see. So wow. That was kind of the highlight of my work. That's the reason I started my company, was to preserve amazing homes like that. But a lot of these other homes that I've sold, I've connected a lot with the owners. Specifically, sometimes there are older people who say, you know, other realtors told us that we had to tear this house down. And other realtors just sell it as a lot. You know, they'll write a, they'll draw a red line around the lot and they'll say, great place to build your dream home. And they don't clean up the house. They don't fix anything. They don't stage anything. And they just sell it as a tear down. So that's basically the reason why I started my work. That's why I love my work, is when these people say, I cannot believe that someone's going to buy this and enjoy it and still live in it. And the homes are gorgeous. I mean, they don't need that much work to be comfortable and livable. Some of them do, but it's amazing the people that we find that are thrilled to be in that design and thrilled to, you know, put money into restoring it. It's really, it's like a labor of love for them. So it's really amazing. Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. It's like you started your company to give it a second life.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So in your company, you've worked with the same people for over 5 years. So how did you recruit these like-minded folks to be a part of your team?
Yeah, well, so Chris is kind of my right-hand man, Chris Fisher. I saw him on a broker tour. And he was doing such a good job, and he was just so thorough and so meticulous with all the paperwork and disclosures. And I said, you know, it would be great to work together someday. Let's, I'm going to keep your card. And one day I just called him and I said, hey, you know, I'm looking for, a new sales manager. I'm growing a team and I would love to work with you. And he said, yeah, you know, that would be really great. And I've been working with someone who is looking to join a new firm. And he knows about mid-century modern design. So, you know, we'll bring him on too. So, and that was Alexander Wang, who had joined the team as well. But it's just been wonderful working with them and very easy. And over the years, you know, Eichlers and mid-century modern homes, it's like clockwork. We know exactly what to do with them. We know how to fix them. We know what materials to put in, what not to do. So it's a really fun connection. It's a really fun job.
Wow, that's really special to have kind of the same team and grow and bond together. But that's also a testimony to you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, my Ben, who joined us, was also an enthusiast. And it's funny how you'll just find in conversation, people say, you know, I want to specialize in mid-century design. And, you know, I love these homes. And it's like, it becomes like a fun hobby. You know, it doesn't feel like work to us because we're so geeked out about the architecture and homes. I mean, it's just really... And I also hired my old boss, Kim, who is really, really funny. Kimberly Oslob, who was my boss, you know, this was what, 14, 15, 16 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, she and I kept in touch. I worked at this company for usability and I sold their usability products. And she said, you own the rights to Eichler Homes. She said, this is really, really huge. I want to work with you on this. And I wow. thought, how funny that we've come full circle. And I hired her to, she answers all the questions and she's now taken care of the sales of the Eichler plans, which is just amazing. And she's optimized a lot of the processes for selling them. And with the plans, the architects have a lot of questions about them and about, you know, the structural footprint and things like that. So she's become this master of that information. It's really wonderful.
I love full circle things. We just never know what comes back around when it's meant to. And so you own these Eichler, the rights to these Eichler floor plans, and you have mm-hmm. sold them to people, like you said, that Kim is a part of that with you. And you've sold them all over the US. So how did even that come about? How does one acquire the Eichler floor plans?
It was funny because I had a buyer look at an Eichler in the Highlands, in the San Mateo Highlands, and we'd done a full remodel of one. And he said, I want a new Eichler. And I said, well, this is, you know, was gutted. It's completely remodeled. It's basically new. And he said, no, I want a new one. And he said, how difficult would that be? And I said, you know what? It's actually really easy because all of these plans have the same design. You know, everything's already there for us. We can just, you know, fit them to code. And so I called the guys at Stantec. I knew the president of Stantec. And he said that people were actually throwing out the Eichler plans. Nobody cared. People said, oh, this is taking up a lot of space. They were throwing a lot of them out. And I said, could I just have them? Could I, you know, sign something that says I have exclusive rights to take them, to have an architect fit them to California code and then sell them? And he said, yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. And I went there and met with everybody and signed some documents. And then we took 60 plans that they had and we sent them to two architects and I paid for them to fit them to code. So that's what we sell to people. And they are basically buying a license to build that plan. You know, they are buying little pieces of land and building little Eichlers. It's unbelievable. And it just happened really, really fast. It was, And it was easier than we thought. Everybody said, oh, you can't do that. You know, to every person that said you can't do that, I always would ask why. Okay, so what's the solution? You know, you can't have that much glass. Okay, well, how can we, you know, rework this? And we had to make the fireplace a different size. We had to open up different doorways, and we got it done. So each state is different with their code, but we use California code because it is the most difficult. California code is ridiculously difficult to meet. So specifically Palo Alto code. So, yeah.
So has there been this, since you've acquired all of these floor plans, have there been like this influx of people that are just all of a sudden like, I want in on this?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people, I hired Kim at the perfect time because so many people want one and so many people would just be asking questions forever. It's something that's very difficult to have an end user do. Developers are, you know, it's obviously easier. They know what they're doing, but end users have so many questions and they're a little intimidated with the design because to do an Eichler right and to do the interiors right, you have to know them. You have to understand the architecture. And I hired her at the perfect time because I was getting a little overwhelmed with the calls and the questions. And I think, you know, a lot of people have their own style. So I've seen a lot of photos of people designing their Eichler in their own way. And we have to respect everyone's own individual style. Because some people are purists, some people like, you know, are more traditional. Some people have a contemporary design. So I have learned over the years, because I'm a purist, I cannot take this so seriously. I cannot sit back and say, I don't want you to have that color, or I don't want you to do, you know, I have really stepped back and said, you know what, if you love that, then you do it.
Wow. So what is something that is, when you say purist, like what would be like two or three features that this is a purist feature for mid-century modern or an Eichler design?
Yes. So the first thing is painting the ceiling. You cannot, I mean, if you paint an Eichler ceiling, you have kind of ruined the home.
Okay.
I would say just having the natural wood on the ceiling is, you know, makes that whole room feel warm and it draws the eye up. Also, having the original mahogany paneling on the walls is very nice. Some people don't like all of it. You know, they don't want the whole house in that wood paneling, but I always say, please keep, you know, one or two walls that wood, because it really takes away, again, the warmth of the home. And then having the fireplace, you know, a lot of people want to paint the fireplace, but I think that original brick just feels so good too. Hmm. These laws of having organic architecture don't involve paint. They don't involve big changes. I always say leave things as they are. And I also think that having the radiant heating systems in the home is very special to a modernist house. Some people don't like that. Some people want AC, you know, they want to change the heating, but I think the radiant heating systems are really great and very special.
Hmm. That's quite a different clash with the new style that came in of everything being white. So
yeah,
you must be fighting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, new construction, there are a lot of modernist homes that I love that are white inside. My husband loves these, you know, new contemporary homes, and he loves everything white and, you know, everything open. And, I really like that too, but I'm more of a mid-century modern fan. I like that nostalgia. I love that nostalgic feeling. And I like, you know, living in a story, living in a work of art and something that will be here when you're gone. And something that has this unique history.
Have you converted your husband a little bit?
Yes. Yes. He is, thankfully, he loves Eichlers and mid-century modern style. And that was one of the first things, you know, that we talked about when we met. That
like first date, first question. Okay, we need to see where you land.
One of those basic questions. Are you okay with mid-century modern architecture? If you're not, I cannot go out with you. That's it. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. But he loves it, and he is always pointing out beautiful homes. You know, we always watch these shows together. We look at architecture books, and we'll text each other little images of things we want to do to the house, and it's just really, or furniture pieces that are amazing. Yeah.
It's such a fun hobby together.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's become a whole life. My whole life is this work. And it's interesting. I think about it all the time. All my friends are involved too. Clients become friends. And, you know, we go to tours and we have these parties in these modernist houses together, and there are so many different groups that are involved in preservation. So, you know, it becomes an entire lifestyle.
Were you interested in design when you got into real estate, or did real estate kind of start to birth this love of design?
Yeah, real estate really brought it to me. I did not know what an Eichler was. I had studied Frank Lloyd Wright, and I loved, you know, beautiful images of, you know, falling water and, you know, you always see those, you know, larger custom homes, but I didn't know that there were this many. And it really, real estate opened my eyes to this. And the Bay Area, too. The Bay Area, which I love, is my home. I feel so connected here in California, especially. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. It's the most amazing place for architecture. And it's like a playground everywhere you look. It's crazy.
You really inspired me on your last episode, which was the speaking to all the people through your Eichler tour. When you do the home tour, I thought I will do that one day.
Yes.
You could see all the pictures of all these different homes. And it was like, wow, there is a lot. And it seems like your area really does tell a story.
Yeah, it really does. And it's such a great community. So many people know each other. People have had the same neighbors for generations. And, you know, they take care of each other. They love the homes. And we get a lot of design inspiration from going on the tours. So you get to see what other people are doing, if they're making, you know, bold moves, if they're taking risks. It's exciting. You know, you get to learn. So it's been eye-opening.
Wow, that's cool. So who are some of your favorite mid-century modern designers or architects that still just continue to inspire you even now?
Yeah. Well, I love Aaron Green. Aaron Green worked with Frank Lloyd Wright. His designs are similar to Frank Lloyd Wright's Usonian designs, but they're so much more comfortable. They're so much more livable. They're softer. They have a lighter feel to them inside. I lived in a Frank Lloyd Wright home in Hillsborough here. I've done a lot of research in so many different types of architecture and so many different architects. And it was unlike anything that I've ever experienced before, but it was very uncomfortable. It was cold. It was, you know, very harsh. The materials are harsh. And when I experienced Aaron Green, it was a lot more comfortable, relaxed, softer. You know, the floors were softer. The wood was softer. He didn't use as much brick. And that was inspiring to me. I also love Joseph Escherich. I love Albert Frey. Albert Frey was the reason I had my logo in turquoise. He did this amazing home in Palm Springs, the Frey House 2, that was really amazing. It's just this very small modernist house on this cliff. And he had all of this turquoise, the most beautiful turquoise countertops in there. And I just sat in there and was in heaven in that house. Also, I love A. Quincy Jones. I think his designs were really amazing. Claude Oakland, whenever you see an Eichler with high ceilings, vaulted ceilings, or second story, he did those designs. I think he was such an innovator and really, you know, pushed the bar, just raised the bar for Eichler. And I love these architects that really took risks. John Lautner is another one who did the most insane designs and really just baffled people with his work. I've researched him so much, and what an interesting man he was also. When he would draw his designs, he held the pencil like a child, and he would, you know, draw this way, which I thought was very interesting. And, you know, there's so many. There's also, just like this home that I'm living in, Alan Blair was the architect. There's so many people like this that were never celebrated, that are unknown, that have done beautiful work. So there are these homes everywhere. If you're listening and you are in an area that has modernist homes, a lot of people don't know what they are, but if they research, you'll find so much amazing work.
Hmm. So are mid-century modern homes that trend, where some things go in trend and out of trend, or is it not necessarily a trendy thing, but it's kind of this stable thing that doesn't shift mm-hmm. or change very much?
I think it's a very stable thing. There are different variations of it. You know, you have kitsch. I love when mid-century modern kitsch came out. It was a very, you know, more ornate, a lot more going on, more color, more frill, if you will. But
okay.
Mid-century modernism is, I think it's the most stable thing that it's not trendy. It's not changing. It's these basic, simple designs that will just go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, people are understanding now that the best thing to do is to keep things in the simplest form you can and keep them as they were designed, as they were intended. It's usually, you know, less is more. And I think that when people understand how these designs were made, they can replace them, restore them very easily. And I think that's the best way to be the next steward of these homes.
I love that. So for listeners who may be new to the whole world of mid-century modernism, like me, what are some tips to like finding or appreciating these homes, or like how could they incorporate some of these styles into their own living spaces?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're in California, I mean, there are so many homes to find. There's no shortage or lack of these homes. If you're in other states, I have some people have even called me from Wisconsin, Tennessee. They have mid-century modern homes there. And there is a network that I've joined. It's U.S. Modernist, and my friend George started that. He has records of mid-century modern homes all over the United States. He has kept addresses. He knows, you know, different plans that have, I mean, he's just an encyclopedia of where these homes are. That's been a huge resource for me. And then I think, you know, just through things like this, what we're doing, you know, the podcast, you can learn from all of these architects' pages, their websites, images on what to do, what not to do. I really hope to do a television show soon. I interviewed with HGTV we just did a sizzle reel about modernist houses and, you know, showing the inside of the homes, what not to do, what to do, and sort of a should they add this or should they not type of a show, which would be really fun. And I think it's always easiest to look back at what the home was before it was changed. And a lot of clients will ask for, you know, original photos, any pictures to show what it looked like before. But the most sophisticated buyers that I work with, they want the original design and they're educated on these designs. So they're looking to have it look as original as possible, which I love.
Yeah. We can link some of those in the show notes. Yeah. So this podcast has been a fun way to get to know those in this big, great, wonderful community of mid-century modernism. So how did you get started in this? And with your media background, it seems you've done some things like this before with the two documentary films and videos of home. So how is this different?
The podcast is really just a joy of mine. It's funny because it's basically documenting my last 14 years in this industry. It's documenting all my friendships. I'm surrounded by all these people that are really good at what they do. So this has been just a labor of love for me. And I thank you so much for going on this journey with me. I went to school for journalism. That's what I went to college for. And so film and television and media was just a love of mine. So kind of combining the two, real estate is always how I have self-funded every project I've ever done. Hmm. Has been self-funded. The company was self-funded. Everyone's salary is funded through the real estate world. And I get to save the homes and I get to do the work I love on houses through that. So it's all kind of circling. It's recycling itself.
Hmm.
And the podcast just came through COVID. My husband always listens to a lot of podcasts. And I thought, you know, that seems a lot easier than doing all this video, going to different locations, grabbing footage. I thought a podcast is very simply talking to experts. So I've loved it because I get to reconnect with so many people after COVID. You know, we didn't see each other for some years. So it's been a real blessing. And it's great to see everyone doing so well. And it's great to have all this information to share.
Yeah, it's a really great library for people of, I mean, you talk to people from so many, I mean, I didn't know there was the guy who restores decks and the guy who does the heating systems and the guy who does the siding. Yeah. And you just have such a library of different people on that touch on every aspect.
Yeah. I'm trying to get different, you know, we have another episode coming up with focusing on women in modernism.
Love that.
And yeah, I'm really excited to talk with Daniela Ohad. She is a curator and a collector. She's going to be talking about a lot of women that were famous in the modernist world, designers and furniture designers. So that should be pretty amazing too. And it's funny because we're always putting together a puzzle. You know, someone will tell me, oh, I had so much fun doing the podcast. I want you to talk to my friend who's an expert in, you know, these modernist chairs, or someone who's knows Albert Frey's family or something. It's really a great connection that we all share.
That's really cool. So what advice then do you have for anyone who's passionate about a niche topic like you are, so like mid-century modern, but wants to start their own podcast or wants to share this passion, what advice would you have for them?
Yeah, I would say just really have a plan and have your intention set. Have it be a pure intention and just start doing it. And, you know, some people think ideas to death and then they never come about because someone is, you know, overthinking it. With this, I sort of learned as I went and, you know, you get better through the doing of things and you get better through experiencing. Even with you, I learned so much through with you, you know, how to do different transitions or how to have someone be comfortable on camera or comfortable on audio. It's been an entire new learning experience. I would say, really just go for it, because the things that are in your mind and you think about or you want to express creatively, you have to be the one to take action and do it. Buy the equipment, just start recording. Who cares if, you know, your first two episodes aren't great, just go. You will learn. And, you know, it's with anything. Some people will call me and say, you know, I'm thinking of starting a company. Do you think I should do this? And I always say, if you have to ask someone if you should do something, it's not in you enough to do it.
Hmm.
If you really feel passionate about something, there's no way you can't do it. I think that, you know, you have to take a risk and put yourself out there. Don't be afraid and just go for it. It's going to be really exciting either way. If you fail, then you tried. And if you succeed, then you've done something that you were true to yourself. For, you know, just be true to yourself and really do it. Put yourself out there.
Hmm. I love that. Well, you're an inspiration to us all. it's been really fun to just watch your project come alive and inspire other people to love these things you love. Because you're right, when you're passionate about something, it's instead of asking, should I do it? It's more, how do I do it? It's like, where do I go to find out how to make this happen? And when you're someone with that behind you, the people who are encountering you are feeling that from you. And so it's a really beautiful gift to the world that you've given us for mid-century modernism. And
thank you.
Do you have any projects coming up or anything else you just want to add or say that you felt like you didn't get to express?
Yes. I have a couple clients who are wanting to open up their homes and want to show video of the homes. So I'm thinking of trying to partner with someone to do a little show about, you know, showing the interiors or just a little documentary of, you know, great designs in the Bay Area, great architecture here. So I really want to do more video. I also think that having more people on the show is great to, for other people to learn. And I've opened up kind of a new thing with clients here in the Bay Area where we are doing all of the work that's necessary for the home for them before we put the home on the market. So we, for people that are, you know, in different situations or their home is very distressed, I am putting forth the funds to get the homes ready for them, to help in that way. And then, you know, just making the homes look great and cleaning them up and helping these people that don't know, you know, they've inherited these amazing modernist homes and they don't know what to do with them. So this is, will hopefully be an added value for them. So that's exciting.
That's really, really exciting. So if people want to, some of your potential future walkthroughs of homes and stuff, where can people be watching to see where some of that might come out?
The Eichler Home Tour is doing this every year. And people can go to eichlerhometour.org, and they always put on a really, really good show. They always have, I think they had 12 or 13 homes this year, and every year they open things up. It's just a really fun time. Everybody gets to connect and talk and share ideas, so I encourage everybody to check out that website.
Is your YouTube channel, are you adding any things that people can watch out for on that? Can they follow you there?
Yeah, it's just under my name. I got married, so my former name is Monique Lombardelli, but I took my beautiful husband's last name, which is Anton. So it's Monique Anton is my YouTube channel, and people can connect with me there, or you can just email me at monique@modernhomesrealty.com, and always happy to answer questions and chat about modernism or provide links to things that can help if people have any questions.
Well, this has been so fun for me. I've been wanting to hear the inside of your mind and your passion and drive. And I've just felt it off of every episode and just from your guests as well. I've enjoyed each of them and what they've had to say. So thank you for sharing your passion with the world. It's an absolute inspiration.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
We just all love you.
Thank you. I love you. And thank you so much for this great idea. And thank you for all of your work on the podcast.
My pleasure.
And everyone, we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.